Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 7th, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 1, paragraph 4. Today's readers are Jeannie N., reading the 12 steps, Joanne L., reading the 12 traditions, and reading the texts are Alex K., Susan G., and Jody E. Our newcomer greeter today is Lois P., and making announcements is Robin P. The share IDs for yesterday, Tuesday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,104 or 21104. And the sharing ID for this morning, Wednesday, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, the share ID is 21,011 or 21111. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jeannie N. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeannie N., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jeannie N. And Joanne L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning, everybody. Kathy, again, thank you so much for your service, and especially to everybody on the line and the newcomers especially. I am Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island, and I am working on my recovery one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 1, paragraph 4, and I will ask Alex K. to get us started. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks, everyone here. Alex K. in California, recovered just for today. 22 and a veteran of foreign wars, I went home at last. I fancied myself a leader, for had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation? My talent for leadership, I imagined, would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with the utmost assurance. Well, when I read this, I was reminded of how I used to fantasize, often while compulsively eating, about how great my life would be in the future, about all the wonderful things I would do. And fantasizing was another way of trying to escape from my life, just like the food was, because reality was too painful. And in my fantasies, of course, everything was perfect and easy. I never had any problems. Everything always went my way. But I never was able to follow through on all of my ideas because most of my time and energy were spent on my food addiction. My life got smaller and smaller as the disease took over more and more of me and my life. It consumed all my energy and made it impossible to do much else except get my next fix. I'm so grateful that today I don't feel the need to escape into fantasy or food. I live in reality with all its ups and downs, and I'm not hurting myself with food thanks to this program and my higher power. Thank you all for helping me with my recovery today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we are going to take names of people who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might get to share their experiences too. Okay, so who would like to share today?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Who else would like to share?
Julie B.
Julie B.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else? Who is that?
Lucky W.
Leslie W.
It's Lucky. Like, I'm very lucky.
Oh, Lucky W. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
Lucky W. Who else?
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H. Anyone else?
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Okay, let's start with that group. We have Wendy M., Julie B., Lucky W., Jennifer H., and Sandy K. Please let us know where you're calling from when you start. Wendy, we'll start with you. Please unmute and share.
Great. Good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and everyone on the line. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Gosh, I love these lines. And the reason I love them is because I get to look in the mirror. Right? So I'll just throw out some words that came to me when I first read this. Grandiosity. And, you know, fancied, leader. Imagined, vast, head, and then even earlier, flattered, applause, right? Like, I was so resentful of Bill when I read this because I saw myself in the mirror here. I completely identified in. My life was grandiosity. My life was, like right now, I'm in a play that I wrote. I'm in it in a couple weeks, you know. Is there going to be enough people to come to see me? Is there going to be enough of me there? You know, I've heard people say, less of me, more of you, or less of me, more of God, you know. But I love how grandiose he is because I get to see how grandiose I am. And by the way, God said to me, it doesn't matter how many people are in the audience. What matters is that you share and are of service with the message. That's all. There might be one person, there might be 100. It's not my business. But when I go into grandiosity, when I go into I'm the center of the universe, when I go into this is all about Wendy, right? Then I'm in trouble very, very quickly. And then I hear the word humility. And the minute I say that word, I actually feel humble. Oh my God, what? I'm just there to be of service. What a relief to get out of the center. And one last thing I'll say, which I thought was really terrific. He imagined he'd be the head of a vast enterprise. What I love there is the irony, because it turns out he's the head of one of the largest, most important vast enterprises in the history of the world, really, you know, and that is AA. So he imagines it, and it turns out God's like, yeah, I think I'll make you the head of this vast enterprise so that you can be of service to millions of people. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Okay. Julie B., please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, Vision family. It's Julie B. from Ohio. And I think, you know, what I just wanted to share this morning, like what I'm trying to focus on is like just what the directions in the big book mean to us. And so I'm trying to find the direction here. And so I think it's just about sharing my story, like just about how basically how Bill fancied himself a leader and was given a special token of appreciation. So just for me, like that meant getting a good job, like getting a good position was going to solve all my problems. And I was going to have, you know, I wasn't going to have problems anymore if I got that specific job. And I can think of like, I got a job as like a sales associate for a radio station. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. Like, I can't wait. And I just remember hiding because the sales calls I had to go on were so difficult, and I hated like people needing to sign on the dotted line in order to do business together. And I just remember hiding in my like apartment and overeating and not being able to stop going to the kitchen. And it didn't, no matter how much talent I have or leadership, like it still, those emotions still spark running to the food. Like even recently, just having, luckily by God's grace, not running to the food, but just having that thought of like dealing with a lot of emotions, in food. So luckily today I have way better solution, and that's program. It's outreach calls. And now like I'm like, oh gosh, like I'm craving food. I need to make an outreach call. That's sort of what I go to. So just claiming my seat, getting in the center of the herd, and just grateful for this meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie B. Lucky W, please share with us.
Hi, Lucky W, I'm calling from East Boston today. I'm just trying to speak up more in meetings. I'm a little hesitant and tentative about stepping into any leadership position because, like this example, you know, I can get confused about self-esteem and grandiosity a little bit. And I think it's because of my black and white thinking. As an addicted brain, I tend to vacillate wildly between I'm no good and, oh, I'm the best. And trying to walk that middle ground is my practice. And yeah, so I think there's a responsibility to serve, and sometimes that means you step into a leadership role. And then that opens us up to, you know, criticism or negative feedback, and being a strong enough person to be guided by my principles and my character, and not allow anything to knock me off that center is a practice for me. And this program really helps me with that, because I get up in the morning and I have a discipline of, you know, putting my higher power and my relationship with my higher power first. And as long as I do that, then when I start feeling these weird feelings that make me want to indulge in my addictions, I can get back on course. And so thank you so much for listening to me, and I pass.
Thank you, Lucky W. Jennifer H., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer H. from Santa Clara, California, a compulsive overeater, and thank you for your service this morning. I don't know what I was going to say because my higher power said you're going to share, so here goes. What I related to out of this, or what I got out of this, again, was the grandiosity that someone else had mentioned, and the pride and the ego that go along with that, and how I can relate to that, thinking that I deserve something because of, you know, who I am and what I can bring to the table, or at least what I think I can bring to the table. And what I was really thinking about was, for myself, the self-pity that came with not getting what I was really wanting, which was that, you know, position of to be able to manage and be ahead of, not necessarily the head of an enterprise, but some sort of higher level of position at work, thinking that, you know, I'm a certain age now, I should be where I am, or I should be somewhere different, and I'm not. And for me, it took on a lot of self-pity, which is my favorite sweater to wear, which I would then cover with ice cream or donuts or whatever it is that I used to feel sorry for myself. I used to cover those feelings of sorry for myself. So it was the opposite. But what I learned, you know, through this big book and Bill's story and working the steps and having a God in my life, is that, you know, it's, the self-pity is the same as pride. It's just a little opposite and a lot more negative, I think, for myself, is what happened for me. Around that. So, and my self-pity because I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that certainly contributed to a lot of the low self-worth and the emotions that I chose to ate over to cover up how I was feeling. And that I had no idea about in my life until I got to Vision and got a sponsor and started listening to all of you on this journey. And I'm so very grateful for it because I had no idea. And through Bill, once again, just coming into my life and being able to have a solution in recovery from this awful disease. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer H. Sandy K., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Sandy K. I'm from Florida, but temporarily now calling from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery for today. Every time I read the paragraph that was just read, I look at the word enterprises, and it's with an S. It's not just an enterprise. It's enterprises. And I so much relate to that. There are some other people that have been sharing about that too, but about ego. I call false pride, because when I first came into program, I mean, I've shared this so many times that there was no self-esteem. I didn't even have those words in my vocabulary. And because of that, I wanted people to have confidence in me and to see that I was confident. And it was sort of like, and I'm really short, so it reminded me I was like Napoleon with a hand in a jacket. Moving forward, charging. And so I had been in program a few years, and I've been in sales almost all my life. And so I had joined a new organization, and I actually made then the most money I ever made before with one sale. And I was feeling so thrilled, and I should have felt thrilled. It was a big accomplishment, but I felt so thrilled that I was driving, and I ended up in a speed area that I had no idea I was even speeding, and I got a ticket. And that was like, okay, Sandy, that's God's tapping you on your shoulder. I mean, I just picked up the check, and 2 seconds later, I got a ticket. That's God tapping you on the shoulder. You know, go back to being humble. And then, like 2 months later, the same thing happened in that I got another amazing commission check, and I got another ticket when I was driving. And they weren't intentional. I didn't intentionally speed. I didn't intentionally think. I didn't even know there was a rule against. And it was, I got another ticket. And so for me, that was like, God, you know, just saying, Sandy, calm down, be humble, and move forward. So I always laugh, even though it cost me a lot of money, those two tickets. I always laugh about how my pride, my false pride, just got me two tickets. So that's one of the beautiful things about that program. Thank you. It's one of the beautiful things about that program, and that is, with years of recovery, my self-esteem has been raised to, I think, a normal level. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy K. Okay, for those of you who came on late, we are sharing on the paragraph at the bottom of the page on page 1 of Bill's story in the Big Book, which begins 22 and a veteran of foreign wars. So I'd like to take another list of people who would like to share. Who would like to share?
Jody E.
Jody E.
Ann B.
Ann B. Thank you, Ann. Who else? We have plenty of time. Who else would like to share today?
Marie R.
Marie,
I can share. My name is Harry B. I can share, but I'm not sure exactly what to share.
Okay, Harry.
I don't have the Big Book.
Well, did you hear the reading?
No, I missed it.
Okay. Well, if you can share on the topic that you've heard, you can.
Dion R.
Who is that?
Dion R.
Oh, Dion R. Thank you, Dion. And Harry, if you want to try to share on the topic as it's been discussed,
yeah,
you can do that.
Well,
okay.
Wait
until I call on you, okay? We're just
okay.
Developing the list now. Anybody else want to share? Okay, so we have Jody E., Ann B., Marie R., Harry B., and Dion R. Okay, let's start with Jody E. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Monterey, California. 22. When I was 22, I was well into my disease of a form of bulimia, where I was binging and controlling my weight by restricting, using caffeine primarily as my diet drug. And I didn't have a lot of self-confidence at that age already. I had already lost a lot of it. both, I think, because of my disease of compulsive eating and also my mother's suicide. She committed suicide when I was 12, and something happened right around that age when that happened, and my confidence really plummeted. So I did not fancy myself as a leader, but I did have dreams. I did think that I know what I knew what I wanted, and I wanted what I wanted. And I began to start to get what I thought I wanted, and I succeeded partially, but not fully, not nearly at all. I was floundering at that age, really, as Bill would come to flounder as well. So there was a lack of confidence, but there was also ambition. And that's where I identify in with Bill here. I too had ambition. I too had an ego, for sure. I still have an ego. But today I know that it must be tempered by humility and by this desire to do God's will for my life and for us, because that's the only thing that's gotten me anywhere, is to pray for knowledge of God's will for us, not just me, for us, and the power to carry that out. So today I do that. I pray for knowledge of that. What is that? Because that's, I know, is what will lead me in a positive direction where I can be of more service to my higher power and to more people, both in these rooms and in all my affairs. So I can relate to Bill here in that I had ambition. Not a lot of confidence, but ambition nonetheless. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Ann B., please share with us.
Hello, this is Ann B. of Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have been abstinent for 19 years, although I don't like the word recovered. And this is really right that I feel least recovered about is fantasizing. You know, I'm living in a lot of ways a wonderful life. I have a lovely home in a beautiful neighborhood. I'm abstinent. My children, although they don't meet my expectations, are healthy physically, and I am. My physical needs are met, and I know there's a lot of people. And I, you know, financially, I'm not having a problem right now, and I know there's a lot of people who would just kill to have this life that I've got, and yet, a lot of my time. Fantasizing about marrying a celebrity and getting money and glory from marrying a celebrity. And it's really good to constantly remind myself that, you know, surrender is about accepting my life as it is, about blooming where I am planted, not about, and that really, if I had all those things I fantasized about, they probably wouldn't make me happy, because the source of happiness isn't really things outside of myself. Is that time?
No, you still have a minute and 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm hearing buzzing. So I...
Would everyone please mute? I'm sorry, Anne. Would everyone please mute? Okay, let's see if you're better now. Go ahead.
So, I am... Right. So I, you know, this it's really important to remember that I need to be focused more on being grateful and not on what I don't have, which is a husband. And and I'm grateful for this topic. So I will pass.
Thank you very much, Anne B. And Marie R., please share with us. press star 1 to unmute. Marie?
Hi, this is Marie R. from New York.
Good morning.
Yes,
go
thank
ahead.
You. Good morning. Yes, I always relate in with the beginning of how Bill and his pride and his ego, how he feels like he has, you know, he has says at some point how he feels like he has arrived. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, before even when I was 22, I remember when, you know, as a child, I was kind of heavy. And I remember following this diet book, you know, it was the Richard Simmons diet book. And I was heavier than all my friends. And I had met a boy and I really wanted to lose weight. And I was able to follow this diet book and I had lost weight. And I had gotten the disease of more, you know, and that's when my, you know, anorexic bulimia kind of went into, you know, kicked in. And I felt powerful, you know, and I was, you know, I thought, wow, I can really do this. And I had gotten very, very skinny. It was the first time that I had lost a lot of weight and, you know, and I felt powerful. And, you know, I'm just coming off of, you know, a relapse. You know, I've been in this program probably, you know, back and forth for about a year now. And, you know, I kind of relapsed, you know, in the same way. I was doing well and I was feeling good. And I kind of thought I can do it on my own. And I started with the caffeine and, you know, just following a diet. And, you know, and I was feeling powerful and I was feeling good. And I was almost enjoying my relapse until I didn't enjoy it anymore. And I was very grateful, you know, yesterday to start back up on my meal plan. I was actually craving it, you know, because I was starting to lose my keys, lose my wallet, dropping this, dropping that, you know. The allergy was kicking in. My mind, you know, my mind was crazy. And but I so relate to when Bill, in the beginning of his illness, how his solution, you know, to his, you know, to his problem, you know, how it works in the beginning. It works in the beginning until it doesn't work anymore. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie R. And Harry B., you have 3 minutes. Please share with us. Harry, can you press star 1 to unmute?
There you go. Sorry about that. I resonated with two women. The one woman that was talking about how able to make sales sometimes or freaking out and then eating. I can relate to that big time. I'm in the entertainment business and I'm also in sales, so I understand the frustrations and that leading to overeating. I also like the story about the woman that's looking for a celebrity husband. That's funny. I think that's great. I'm in the entertainment business. I'm not married myself, but anyway, point of the matter is like, I'm talking about like how like stressors in life, how they can lead to overeating. And the thing is that how do we, you know, manage those stresses, because they're real. And I do believe it. A lot of times I get away from God, and when I get away from God, I go into a very dark place, and I'm back with God. And I believe that God can like at least show us the light in terms of like what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. But at the same time, I believe that, this program is, I'm new to this program, so forgive me for just going all over the place, but I do believe that we need God in order to manage our stressors and our unmet expectations, so that way we can feel how we can be more of a contribution, and it's directly related to our level, you know, of satisfaction and who we are. So I don't know. So that way you don't have the stress to start overeating, because I definitely can relate to all of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry B., and do keep coming back. And Dion R., please share.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. My name is Dion R. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And thank you all for your shares and feedback that you got from the readings. And I had to take a little peep up a little before. It's just an ominous warning, which I fail to heed. And I used to hear the old folks say, my elderly ancestor would say, he, meaning like, watch out, you know, be careful. And so it says, something is coming. In other words, it's like warning. And so, and what I got out of the paragraph where Bill talking about, he left the war. And now he's on his way to, back to civilization, where he had came from, and it wasn't a good background from what I understand. But the fact that he got applause from the service people and his friends and get, you know, appreciation. So in other words, if that was me, I'm not saying that I would do that. I mean, that was me, but it's the ego. It reminded me when I went back to school after being in the program, one other program, and I went back to school and I'm like, oh, I have arrived. And that's how I felt. I had arrived. And when I went to, when I joined Overeaters Anonymous, I began to see the difference between ego and appreciation. I began to see the pink cloud, they used to call it. You just on the pink cloud, keep working the steps. In my head, I got this down pat. I've read all the steps, and I wound up in relapse. I was dead. I was gone. And it gained 100 pounds when I was in grad school. You know what I mean? It's just, I kept doing it my way. And I love what someone just said. Stress will bring on any type of eating. And I was stressful. That's a stressful environment. But the only solution I used at that time, instead of listening to the people before me, to say, stay, keep the course, work the steps, stay with God, stay with the program. I had a ride, which today I know it led me into 23 years of relapse. And before I actually accepted, surrendered to the program on June 23rd, 2012, just before Vision started. And I was able to surrender it all. And today I'm still surrendering and letting go of the stress and giving everything to God. One day at a time, and he always brings me through the God of my understanding. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being a part of my recovery. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Dion R. And we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon.
Okay, Mary Lee R. And who else?
Ann M.
Great. Okay, Mary Lee, please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service and everyone who shared. This is Mary Lee R. in recovery just for today in Eugene, Oregon. Yesterday I was in Santa Barbara, and the day before that I was in an airport in Santa Barbara, and the day before that I was trying to get home. So I was 22 and a brand new flight attendant, and we got weighed and measured once a month. And if you gained 3 pounds, you were off the line without pay. So I would say that my restriction, my learning how to restrict food, really started around that time. And I didn't have a God of my understanding at that time. It wasn't until I came into program in 1987 that that God never left my life, my divine director, but I reconnected through program. And I have so much gratitude. Sleeping in my own bed last night and being able to see my kitty, and that my sweetie on this trip made sure that I was able to get, $100 for a taxi was a bit much, but it was to make it to a store where I could get food that I could eat and that sustain me. And I'm just so grateful, grateful, grateful to be here with you all this morning. And I listened to you, but thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Mary Lee R. And Anne M., you'll be our last share today. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Anne M. from Washington State. I just had this thought that I thought I could lead my talent for leadership, lead in my disease, and I didn't know I had a disease when I had a disease. I mean, I was constantly at that age, 21, 22, trying to lose weight, focusing on numbers, absolutely, that was my enterprise. That was my vast enterprise. And it took over everything in my mind. And I have it in my diaries when I
morning.
Keep a diary.
I'm on mute, so you can come in.
Please. No, you're not on mute. Whoever just said I'm on mute. If you would please mute. Sorry about that, Ann. Go ahead.
No worries. Anyway, that the phrase, which I would manage with the utmost assurance, I was absolutely positive that I could do this if I just restricted and then made up for it later, and I was to lose this and such amount of weight by Friday. I was in school at the time, and I thought, what? I didn't even know I had this disease, not until 20-some years later. And how incredible it has been to recognize that my mind was sick, trying to fix a sick mind when it was already full of these weight thoughts and diet thoughts and what I could eat and what I couldn't eat and my guilt. And so that, I just wanted to share that and how the steps work, the big book works. It's all the junk inside I need to look at through working the steps on every single thing. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne M. Okay, thank you to everyone who has shared and listened today and done service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. After that, we will welcome newcomers and have announcements. Would Susan G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, yes. Good morning, everyone. Susan recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.